is Chris and Kira on 2FM.
I think it's about time that we got right down to
Let's do it.
Every week we do this. Kira brings in her old diaries from when she was a young lady. She reads them to us. They are some of the most unintentionally brilliant and wonderful rubbish that you'll ever hear. So this started out as a joke. We now take it very seriously. We treat this as seriously as a reading from the Book of Kells or any other great piece of current Irish literature. This is like Ulysses. I mean, this is an important, I feel, contribution to Irish literature. I feel
yes. It's hugely now, important. Tonight, Chris, I'm going to be reading out some teenage poetry that I wrote.
Awesome.
And before I do it,
yes,
I kind of have to preface this with some sort of explanation. Okay,
here we go.
And the only reason that I wrote one of these particular poems is because I very, very, very much loved the poet that I copied of.
Okay.
But in saying that, the particular poem that I took inspiration from is a very, very sad, poignant poem. Everybody knows it. It's Midterm Break by Seamus Heaney. And it was a poem that I suppose is synonymous with my education.
Look, we all did this in school. Mm. Every one of us knows this off by heart.
Yeah.
Or not, if not off by heart, they know bits of it anyway.
It's one of the most powerful pieces of poetry I've ever read in my whole entire life.
Okay. Yeah.
No, absolutely. So one of your poems is what? Like a homage to that poem?
Kind of.
Oh God. Okay. So it's kind of like a reworking of Midterm Break, like as in the
yeah,
same
but
kind of.
Obviously, nothing got to do.
I get you.
With the sadness that is connected to that particular poem.
But it's like written in the same structure or something, is
yes,
it?
Yes. Okay. Except as the mind of teenage Kira.
Okay.
And I know exactly what I was trying to do. If you know what I'm trying to say.
I get you. You were trying to be artistic and clever.
And Chris,
and
also, this is a poem. I came across this poem months ago.
Okay.
I came across it months ago and I was mm-hmm. like, no, I can't read that out. I can't read that out. And then I thought about it and I thought about it logically and I was like, no, I didn't write this from a bad place. I didn't write this to pull the piss out of, you know, one of the greatest poems I've ever read in my whole entire life.
Sure.
I was a naive 17-year-old who thought she was doing a creative thing by using
yes,
by Mr. Seamus Heaney's work.
As like an homage or a tribute or like borrowing from it or using the inspiration of it. I get you. Because the actual poem itself is really nice.
Yeah. And see, here's what I think.
Not really nice, but it's a really good yeah. poem. Yeah.
Here's what I think we should do.
Okay.
Just to give an example, okay, of what we're trying to do here. Chris, I think that you should read out Midterm Break by Seamus Heaney.
The actual poem.
The actual
okay.
poem.
Okay. Out of like respect to what you're about to do then,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly. Okay. All right.
All right. Fair enough. We all remember this from school. I would say if you were in Irish education in any way for the last 20 years, you'll be aware of this poem, right? I mean, everybody knows this poem that I'm aware of. It's the if you don't know the one we're talking about, here, look, I'll read it to you, then you'll know the one we're talking about. I have to be serious now, because
yeah,
this is
I know,
a serious poem.
I know.
Right. I sat all morning in the college sick bay, counting bells, knelling classes to a close. At 2 o'clock, our neighbours drove me home. In the porch, I met my father crying. He had always taken funerals in his stride, and Big Jim Evans saying it was a hard blow. Literally every time in school that someone read hard blow, about four lads would go, blow.
Oh, for God's sake.
I know, yeah, literally. It just reminds me of being in school. The baby cooed and laughed and rocked the pram when I came in, and I was embarrassed by old men standing up to shake my hand and tell me they were sorry for my trouble. Whispers informed strangers that I was the eldest, away at school, as my mother held my hand in hers and coughed out angry, tearless sighs. At 10 o'clock, the ambulance arrived with the corpse, staunched and bandaged by the nurses. Next morning, I went up into the room. Snowdrops and candles soothed the bedside. I saw him for the first time in 6 weeks, paler now, wearing a poppy bruise on his left temple. He lay in the 4-foot box as in his cot. No gaudy scars, the bumper knocked him clear. A 4-foot box, a foot for every year.
Like, oh my God, even you reading that out now makes me want to cry. You know, that sort of way.
Do you know what someone said to me once about this poem? And I can't believe, we're getting very cerebral here
I
for
know,
a second.
I know, I know.
You know the last line of that poem? A 4-foot box, a foot for every year.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually read that right, now I don't know whether or not this was Seamus Heaney's intention at all. It probably wasn't even Seamus Heaney's intention. But I remember an English teacher I had for like grinds or something, or maybe it was even my English teacher at school. I can't remember. But anyway, someone pointed out that you can't mouth a 4-foot box, a foot for every year, without your bottom lip quivering loads. And like the implication could be that he's crying, if you get me.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Which is actually a really clever analysis of it.
Chris,
I had
can
never
I just say something to
yes.
you before we get into my teenage poetry?
See,
That was really beautiful. And
thank
you. Read that really, really well.
I don't think I did, actually. I think I sounded like I was smiling for reading some of it because I'm so used to my radio bollocks. Like, don't forget the 2FM Dracula's out and about. So
no.
Then when we try and do this, it'd be serious.
You know what? Aside from all that, Chris, maybe you should do serious sometimes, you know?
I don't think that's a terrible idea. Me and you should be on Ricochet's
anyway,
poetry show.
Here's a terrible idea. Now let's get down to some of my teenage poetry. Okay, so you've heard that, all right?
Well, I get the melodramatic music for your teenage poetry. And
okay.
So now this is your version of the...
So it's kind of... Yeah, I know. All right, so are you ready?
Are you sure we want to do this? There's about 30 seconds in which we can save our career by just moving on.
Might as well do it. I've shared absolutely everything else.
Okay, fair enough. Fine, if you think so,
and
I'll
remember,
stand behind you and we'll do it.
This came from a very good place, all right?
A very good intentioned place.
The poem is also called Midterm Break.
Okay.
All right. Oh, actually, I don't know. Should I do this? Okay, I'm just going to do it.
Hold on, I'll turn off the mics for a second.
Okay.
All right, we'll do it. Okay. Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, by the way, it was really nice working for RTE.
I sat all morning of my secondary school day, counting bells and nailing classes to a close.
Oh, God.
At 2 o'clock, my teachers drove me mad.
Oh.
In the yard, I met Rebecca crying. She'd always taken breakups in her stride.
Oh no, this is going to be this kind of poem. Okay, go for it.
And Hot Gay Brendan saying it was a hard blow. Lucy cooed and laughed and rocked her seat when I came into class, and I was embarrassed by all the lads standing to get her attention and tell me they were sorry for my troubles. Whispers informed the class I was still a virgin away at school, having no one to hold my hand. Rebecca was still coughing out angry, tearless sighs. At 4 o'clock, the school bus arrived, our school bags heavy and packaged by the teachers. Next morning, I went into the classroom. No protractors or calculators to soothe my maths class. I saw Johnny limp for the first time. Paler now. He sat in class, head down as in his Subaru. He had a bruise on his lips, but no gaudy scars. Rebecca had knocked him clear. "That's her done," she said, anger gone, and gave her head a shake. For she wouldn't have to see him now. Until after the midterm break.
Whispers informed the class I was still a virgin. Oh, God.
Let's move on to the next poem, shall we?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, will we move on to the next poem?
I guess so, yeah.
What the fuck is this?
This particular poem, Chris, is called Some Thoughts on the Debs.
Okay, well, look, at least this
actually
sounds slightly lighter. This
sounds
good.
This is something that I wanted to put out there, 51552. I know in my school, the Debs was like September, October, November time. Is it the same with other schools?
Yeah, it was like the year after, I think.
It was, or the year of. So
oh, no.
I went to my Debs the year of sixth year.
Like the year of your leaving,
yeah.
No, we all went the year after. I didn't go to my own damn Debs, but
yeah,
I went to
went
other people's Debs.
After you graduated.
Yeah, like as in
right.
You went after school was over, basically.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, this is called Some Thoughts on the Debs.
Okay.
The Debs is something where the men have more power. They turn up in a tux, holding a rose, after only having a shower.
That's true.
Then at the end of the night, if things have gone sour, they go looking for a girl in their year to deflower. Us girls have to shave and wax everywhere. We spend months trying on the perfect dress to wear. Push up bras or bought and tiaras for our hair. Fake tan is sprayed on, so even our skin is not bare. Will we lose our virginity and do everything right? Will lads drink loads of Buckfast and get in a fight? Will we bust open our zips when dancing to Wigfield Saturday night? Will we get drunk in front of the teachers and give them a fright? Will we party in the hotel rooms until early morning? Will there be two people in a bed totally scoring?
Yeah.
Will there be people awake thinking about their cherry in mourning? I think that going to the Debs should come with a strategic health warning. Thank you.
Wow, that was nice. I thought that was funny.
Thank you.
That wasn't kind of debasing any other great literary works. That was great. Okay, cool.
All right.
Do you have another one?
Yeah, it's called The Twin Towers.
Okay. Is it actually called The Twin Towers?
It's called The Twin Towers.
All right, okay,
you'll
cool.
See where I'm going with this, because you also know that I took an awful lot of inspiration from the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
So a lot of my political poetry started with, one of the verses of Wannabe.
Okay.
By the Spice Girls.
But
so
this is called Twin Towers.
This is called Twin Towers.
All right, okay.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. For Osama bin Laden to piss off.
Is that the poem?
That's the poem.
Wow. Oh, well, that was one of those really profound ones. I can see that being like at the Quartz Festival in Galway. Do you know what I mean? I can see that being at like an arts festival.
Chris, I have thousands of, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Type poems.
Yeah, I've read them out here before.
No, I know. It's just, I always expect there's going to be something more.
Okay, when I say thousands, right? I don't have this big, massive archive of poems.
You know
poems
Emily Dickinson? Yeah, yeah. They all just have different numbers.
Like equal rights for women and no AIDS in Africa.
World Peace was another one. I remember that. So tonight's one was what?
Osama bin Laden to piss off. Because obviously it was written after, I imagine, the Twin Towers in September the 11th.
I like how that was a motif of some of your poems. That was a theme. Whereas in, you'd do the, I tell you what I want for repetition. And then the end line would really hit home with all of us. This is powerful. This is powerful stuff, Kira. Man, I can't believe it. Kira, thank you as always.
You're welcome. This is Chris and Kira on 2FM.